The first reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 10, beginning at verse 8, going on to verse 13. The word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13, temptation of Jesus. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Lord, we've been reminded this morning from the words of Psalm 91 that we've just sung, that we are safe in your shadow, for you are our fortress and our tower. You guard us in all our ways. Please guard our minds and hearts now and help us to discern what you have to say to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are you ever tempted? Maybe you're tempted by the desire for power, for material possessions, food. You can tell mine. Alcohol, attraction to someone who isn't your spouse. That's just a very small list. We all have things that tempt us. Oscar Wilde is well known for saying, "I can resist anything except temptation." Perhaps we can identify with that. Actress Mae West, who had a very colourful background, said, "Between two evils, I always pick the one I never tried before." Perhaps we can identify with that too. But Christian author C.S. Lewis wrote in Mere Christianity that a silly idea is current that people do not know what temptation means. This is an obvious lie. Only those who try to resist temptation know how strong it is. A man who gives in to temptation after 5 minutes simply does not know what it would have been like an hour later. That is why bad people, in one sense, know very little about badness. They have lived a sheltered life by always giving in. I think that's quite thought-provoking. How do we react when we're faced with temptation? Do we give in or do we resist it? Let's see what Jesus did. In the account of Jesus' life in Luke's Gospel, we meet the adult Jesus in chapters 3 and 4. He was commissioned by God at his baptism in the River Jordan, where he received God's spoken approval and was empowered by the Holy Spirit, which was seen to descend on him in the form of a dove. Jesus' next move was to prepare for his ministry by going into the bleak and barren wilderness. Those of you who have experienced a retreat or a quiet time of solitude will know how energizing and restorative this time apart can be. But Jesus' retreat was a long one, 40 days and 40 nights, and it was uncomfortable and testing. But Jesus knew he needed this time to prepare himself for ministry, to consider what it meant to be God's son, and to reflect on what sort of Messiah he was to be. Right from the start of today's gospel reading, we can note that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit as he returned from the River Jordan, and he was led by the Spirit. As we enter the season of Lent, there can be no better model to follow than Jesus. If we're to be effective followers of Jesus, we too need to be full of and led by the Holy Spirit. For the whole of his sojourn in the wilderness, Jesus ate nothing, and naturally, he was extremely hungry. He spent his time in his Father's presence, discerning his Father's will. Throughout those days and nights, he was tempted by the devil. Jesus had to spend his time discerning between the voice of evil, which provoked him to give in to temptation, and the voice of God, which kept him faithful to his calling. This account, which must have come from Jesus' own lips, as there was no other person with him at the time, outlines three specific temptations. The first concerned turning stones into bread in order to satisfy his hunger. The second concerned the attractive concept of heading up a new kingdom more powerful than any other earthly kingdom, but at the cost of compromising and worshipping the devil in order to gain that kingdom. The third temptation was to perform a spectacular but ultimately pointless miracle in order to test God's willingness to protect him. In each case, Jesus answered the devil with words of scripture, all from one of the books of the law, the book of Deuteronomy. In these verses were written for the Israelite people who were themselves in the desert for 40 years in their case, wandering around and fluctuating between faithfulness and faithlessness towards God. Jesus seemed to identify himself as being one with the people of God. What can we learn from the way that Jesus handled temptation? We've already thought about the fact that he was filled with and led by the Holy Spirit, and that if we're to worship and serve God ourselves, we too need to be filled with and led by the Spirit. Secondly, Jesus was prayerful. Whilst in the desert and throughout his ministry, Jesus spent long hours in prayer as he spoke to and listened to his Father. I think this is a huge challenge for us, certainly for me, as it's so easy to be distracted and find other things to do than pray. Prayer is demanding and requires sacrifice of our time and attention. But if we're to grow in our faith and draw others to faith, then a prayer-filled life is essential. Thirdly, Jesus drew from the scriptures. He dwelt with the scriptures and turned them over in his mind. He didn't just quote verses off pat, but he examined the scriptures, fed on them, and applied them to his life. We can't do better than that. I know that many of you do read the scriptures carefully. But if you don't already do so, do consider examining the scriptures in more detail and arming yourself with them as you fight temptation. The early Christians used a very simple creed, three words, Jesus is Lord. And that appeared in the reading from Romans that Jean read to us this morning. Maybe when faced by a temptation, we can say that out loud, Jesus is Lord, in order to focus our minds and hearts on Jesus rather than the temptation. A key thing in facing temptation is not to concentrate on the temptation, arguing with it endlessly, as that can just make the temptation more and more attractive to us. Instead, we need to focus on Christ and move on from the tempting situation. We've learned from Jesus' model this morning that he was able to resist the temptation to turn stones into bread to satisfy his physical needs. We too need more than physical things in life. Of course, food and drink, shelter and warmth are all necessary, but they shouldn't be the be-all and end-all. We've learned from Jesus' model that he refused to compromise and worship the devil instead of God. He would have turned his back on his calling if he'd done so. It's so easy for us to model ourselves on worldly standards. Politics, including church politics, I'm afraid, are fraught with difficulty, and the temptation to compromise is alluring. But if we're to be faithful to God and his distinctive people, we must focus our worship and service on God. We've learned from Jesus' model that he refused to test God for his own glorification. Of course God would have sent his angels to protect him, but even the Son of God was not prepared to force his Father's hand. We can rely on God's protection too. We read about it in the Bible, Psalm 91 is an example. We can also know God's protection when we pray and consciously put ourselves in God's presence. And we can be sure that the Holy Spirit is guiding and guarding us through his gifting. The Bible scholar Tom Wright wrote this. Jesus began his ministry by defeating evil at the most personal and intimate level. As Christians, we must be careful that we defeat Satan at the most personal and intimate level too. It's not just about what we do in public. If God is working by his Spirit through a person, that person's own life will be increasingly formed by that Spirit through testing at every level. Those are wise words, I think. Let us allow God, through his Spirit, to mould and form our lives in his way, and let us be attentive to prayer and the scriptures, so that we might come through testing situations, so that we might grow in faith, and so that we might draw others to know and be transformed by the redeeming love of God. Amen.